News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Sean in for Dalton this morning. Yeah, you put a team together like that, Sean, see what you do.
That's right.
I can't even unsay it. So Dalton and I are joined. What a great guy he is to have on this radio station.
Hey, he's all right. Great. Don't encourage him.
Well, he's probably not. The last thing he wants to do probably is listen to a radio station where he's missing in action. I guess he's just vacationing with the wife and the girls, so good for him. 7 after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com and the Washington Examiner joins us as he does every Tuesday. And Quinn, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. Good morning to you and to all the listeners out there.
Good deal. Coming off a Memorial Day weekend, one that was, special regardless, right? But had a chance to go up to Virginia Beach and hang out with teammates of my boy Zach and shoot the breeze and laugh and get misty-eyed and all the things you do when you're remembering somebody like him. But Memorial Day is a very special day, and it's damn straight we better keep it that way, right?
Absolutely. I mean, for those who, like Zach, gave the last full measure of devotion, our debt to them is incalculable. I was rewatching Zero Dark 30 over the weekend, which was obviously another example of the fine work of our military, and it's just remarkable the sacrifice that 1.3 million Americans have made over the years, giving their lives in combat. I did a piece the official Examiner editorial, Washington Examiner, on Memorial Day, and the very first sort of famous casualty of war for the United States was Dr. Joseph Warren, one of the most prominent physicians in Boston, and he's the one who got Paul Revere to go on his midnight ride, and then he came under fire at Lexington and Concord, and his mother heard that Warren came under fire and wrote him and said, please don't do that again. Don't put yourself under fire again. But instead, he was named a general in the Colonial Militia, and he wrote back to his mother, and he said, wherever danger is, dear mother, there will your son be. Mm-hmm. Now is no time for one of America's children to shrink from the most hazardous duty. I will either set my country free or shed my last drop of blood to make her so. And lo and behold, he went and he fought at Bunker Hill, and even though he was a general, he said, I don't have any formal military combat. I'm going to go in the front lines with the private.
Wow.
And he helped fight off two assaults of the Redcoats, who had overwhelming numbers, and slowed them down and took so many, he hurt them so badly that it affected their behavior for the rest of the war. They were much more cautious. And in the third Redcoat assault, he was killed. He was the first famous American to die in battle. And, and he sets a great example. But then there were 134 others, other Americans, other colonials, who died that day with him. And they're not, their names aren't in all the history books, but they did the same thing. And so did now more than 1.3 million others over the course of nearly 250 years. And what they've done for us to make our country free and to make us free to travel around the globe is just, again, I say, incalculable.
It's a stunning number. Quinn, for people to look at that, the total, people will say, well, there's been a bunch. But to look at the over 1.3, 1,304,570 estimated U.S. combat deaths since, you said here, the famous battle in Boston. It should be jaw-dropping. It should be heart-moving.
It absolutely is. And look, and a lot of the times we've done it to free other people, totally selflessly. Now, freeing other people around the globe does make things better for America. I absolutely want to say that, you know, that we can't be isolationist, and that, you know, and that it's not all, you know, that we benefit when the rest of the world is free. So it's not just pure altruism. But the fact is that a lot of it had largely altruistic motives, and we did. We fought off the Nazis. We fought off Imperial Japan. We did so much, and we fought off the terrorists. We have not had a major terrorist attack, unless you count the Boston Marathon thing with two crazy kids. We haven't had a major terrorist attack on U.S. soil since 2001, and it's because of people like Zach, who went and have fought in the places all over the world in the last 23 years. So
yeah, it's amazing.
That's off to them.
Quinn, you know, when I talk to Zach's teammates, and you know, they talk about, and not flippantly, but they're talking about hostage. They talk about missions. Some of those were hostage missions. You know, they talk about that like a sports fan talks about a Braves doubleheader. They're like, no, we knew what we had to do. And
it's amazing.
The circumstances are different every time.
Mm-hmm.
The countries are often different every time. And they are so pinpoint, and they're so courageous that they make it happen. And say, well, was Zach in on that one? Yeah. Yeah, he was there. You know, the stories that we shared were they were incredible, and they're very humbling. But you're not going to be humbled by the story if you don't know the stories.
Yes, and or just even if you don't know the stories, the total breadth of the people that have shed their blood and died for this nation. And you speaking of that too, so we're going to replay you know, yesterday the Fisher House special. I'm going to replay one of the segments on midday today. The story of Jessica Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she was well-known, she was taken in captivity for 9 days. That story was everywhere in the world. But to hear her tell that story yesterday, and we're going to replay a clip from it, of what happened from the initial IED and the firefight to when she looked up and couldn't believe that these people were standing in this makeshift hospital room in Iraq that happened to be Navy SEALs, and one of them pulled the American flag patch off his shoulder there and handed it to her and put her hand and said, "It's Americans, you're safe, you're going home." It's a hell of a story.
And let me emphasize, they didn't just give their lives or risk their lives for a country. They did it for a good country. And young people today need to understand what a good country we are and have been. There is no place that has done as much good, no people that has done as much good all around the world, spread freedom all around the world like the United States has, and it is largely because of people that served in uniform.
Well, and we have to look at things in totality. I know when you talk about, isolationist people, maybe you're lobbing that towards me.
I didn't mean that.
I have that, I'll live up to was said, but at the same time, there are, you know, you can talk about these situations in the past where not the fighting men and women, but the higher ups made decisions that we can, in retrospect, in the rear view, look at and said, should we have done that? Should we be there? What kind of information were they working off of? Those kind of things. But that doesn't diminish the men and women that fought and died. The totality, I agree with you, Quinn, the overwhelming totality is the right thing and the good thing. So I think young people today get these pieces of information and they jump on the things that are wrong and forget that in the totality of all the right done, you know, they forget the right part of it. They go, oh, here's this piece, here's this nugget, and I'll tell them you're accurate, that's true, but you got to compare that with all the good that has been done.
You compare it with all the good that has been done, and then you look. And even the ones that some of us look back on and say turn out not to be wise, practically speaking, even those were well motivated. I mean, you know, it's not as if President X said, "Oh, I just want to go kill a bunch of guys because we're strong." It's, you know, we are fighting against an evil, either evil terrorists or evil butchering communists. And, you know, whether or not it was the practical thing, at least the the intentions were moral.
Yep.
And most of the time, so were the practicalities.
Yeah, I remember when I worked country radio after 9/11 and for years after that, getting calls in the morning. You know, they want to call in a birthday and this kind of thing. And but they would say, my son is now 18. He's about to graduate Baker. And then he's off to Paris Island, like that. And
wow.
They would have a lot of pride in their voices. And I would think, man, that's awesome. But that young guy is about to need to meet a new world. And is going to get trained up and hopefully trained right so he is ready for what he may encounter. You think about all the amazing warriors out there, but you have to consider just every one of them, like the kid from West Mobile or went to Mary G. or went to Blount, and the parents proud that he's going to put on the uniform. But there's a lot of sacrifice in all of that, family and certainly the warrior themselves, right, Quinn?
Absolutely. That's all.
Tell you what, let's get around to the other. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to share this real quick. There was a helicopter crash that took the lives of a bunch of Gold Team members, SEALs. That was, I think, back in 2011, Sean, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. I met the mother of one of the guys
Did
who died.
Really?
Listen to this, Quinn. So I meet the mother of a Navy SEAL who died in 2011 in the most horrible in history, a helicopter crash taking lives of SEALs. I know that there were 30-some people on board. 15 to 20 were Navy SEALs.
15 SEALs, yeah.
Gone in one flash, right? And there's not that many SEALs. So you're talking about that devastates the whole the whole game plan. And her son after that is now a Navy SEAL Team 6 in the same squadron.
Yeah.
So she's up.
Wow.
She's up for the Memorial Day holiday, and at the same time visiting another son who decided to do the exact same thing.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. Wow, indeed. Okay, Quinn, more with Quinn Hillier around the corner. Your texts are certainly welcome. 251-343-0106. Dan and Sean in for Dalton. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Good morning from Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan. I know, it's like a morning show in Dublin. it's right here in Mobile, Alabama, y'all. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. And the Washington Examiner is on the line with us this morning as he joins us every Tuesday. Quinn, good morning once again.
Good morning.
Good to have you along. I guess when is the next appointment for someone to be put to death in the state of Alabama? Is that a few months away?
It's been now set the night of September 26th, overnight to the 27th. And look, what I wrote this week about both Alabama and Louisiana is not related to whether or not somebody approves of the death penalty. If you approve of the death penalty, you still have a moral obligation and in the United States a legal obligation because of the Eighth Amendment, which bans cruel and unusual punishment. You have an obligation to make sure that you try to implement it humanely. You don't want to torture somebody to death, even a violent criminal. And that's what Alabama is doing. Louisiana is doing. It has approved to do.
You're talking about nitrogen hypoxia, right?
Nitrogen, yes. Nitrogen gas. Death by suffocation by nitrogen gas. In January, Alabama became the first state ever to use that as a means of capital punishment. And even though veterinarians won't even use it to put down, animals because they have seen convulsions, et cetera, veterinarians consider it too harsh for animals. But
because the way it's sold, right, the way it's sold by, I remember discussing this for the state and all that, is the people would just go to sleep.
Yeah, which is not what veterinarians have found out. And now let me just read you. This is, there were five representatives of five media outlets there for the one that Alabama did in January, and they all agreed on this. But I'm quoting the Associated Press, but all five of them agreed this is what happened. After the gassing started, 2 minutes later, okay, he didn't just go to sleep right away. 2 minutes later, he, quote, began to shake and writhe violently in thrashing spasms and seizure-like movements. The force of his movements caused the gurney to visibly move. His arms pulled against the straps, holding him to the gurney. The shaking went on for at least 2 minutes, and he didn't stop breathing for 10 minutes. That death by suffocation that way by pure nitrogen is torture, and no civilized nation should use it. I can think of all sorts of other ways that people can, you know, be put to death. I hate to say it, but that would not be that torturous. And for us to do it is barbaric. It's going to be fought in court. The plaintiffs are going to say that it violates the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishment, and they will be right.
Okay, so leading to this was, if I remember correctly, they couldn't for a while get the chemicals needed for the lethal injection, right? That there was pressure being put on these companies to not sell the whatever's in the compound for lethal injection, correct. Right? It was leaving states without the ability to have a way to move forward with an execution. Right. And I'll use the word execution, put to death, execute. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
What does a state do then?
Well, look. I'm not a doctor, but how often do anesthesiologists put somebody to sleep first, okay, and then the person is completely oblivious? Instead of doing surgery, you could then use an extra dose of morphine that stops the heart or something like that. No suffering. There's got to be a way. I mean, modern medicine does so much. How can it be that if we're going to have the death penalty, how can it be that we cannot find a way to do it that doesn't torture somebody like the torture that the viewers saw in January and that they were told they would see, because veterinarians have seen the same thing in animals and they won't use it anymore. To say we are going to treat a human, even a vicious criminal.
Yeah, we're not talking about a jaywalker here. We're talking about murderers, torturers,
right, exactly.
Horrible
so
people.
I'm not making an argument against the death penalty, but to say that we are going to treat them, torture them in a way we won't even put animals to sleep, that, you know, there is such a thing as humanity as a human soul.
Well, you're saying, and we're running out of time, but there's a idealistic argument you're making. Also, you're saying a pragmatic one, because it will be challenged on Eighth Amendment violation?
Bingo. And it will be challenged. And Eighth Amendment violations have not often been upheld, but I guarantee you this one will be. It's unconstitutional.
Quinn, got to run. Let everybody know where they can read your stuff.
You can go to quinnhillier.com and you can subscribe for absolutely free. Doesn't cost you a penny. Or you can just Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner and you'll see most of my stuff there.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you,
guys.
Quinn. Happy Memorial Day to you. It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Sean. Good morning from Dan. No Dalton today, but Sean Sullivan is in. He's also in with Midday Mobile, so we'll talk to Sean a little bit and find out what he's got cooking for that. In between now and then, the Jeff Poor Show, we'll go over Jeff's show and who he's got lined up here on the way right now. Louie Arata is with McConnell Automotive, Dalton and I-65. Louie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dan and Sean. How are y'all?
Hey, good, man.
We're doing good at McConnell. We got the end of the month. That usually means something, right?
That's right. I'm sitting here in my office trying to buy a few cars out from Orlando online and in Atlanta. So We're trying to get this stuff restocked. We had a great weekend. I want to thank everybody for coming by. Got a bunch of fresh trades. Got a 2021 GMC Denali in. Also got a beautiful, I mean, this is nice, a 2023 AT4, which has got the 6.2 Yukon, and I just traded that in white. It's got a little aggressive tires on it. It looks great, so you can check all the stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you've got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
I also know you've got a state-of-the-art body shop, and if you get a little dinged up on the road, and I pass those accidents every day. Occasionally I'm in them, but you pass those accidents every day, but you guys can handle that, right?
That's right. We got a great body shop back there, Thomas, and all the guys and girls back there taking care of all your insurance and needs. And get that unfortunate call where it's total, we got a car up front for your needs. So just come by and see us.
All right, Louis, thanks for the information, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Hey, that's great. Thank you.
You got it. Louis Raddage with McConnell Automotive, Dolphin and I-65, and of course online. Look at everything before you even go. So shop online and get ready to get there and then see the cars right there in front of you. You can do that at McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5. Also, happy anniversary to Leanna. She just saw it posted up. She's in charge of our social media, but I was looking on her Facebook. Her memories 4 years ago. It's her four-year anniversary here.
Is it really? So, 4 year anniversary with us?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know if that leads to any kind of what you do. What gift is 4 years? You know, the whole thing is like, I don't know. We got to figure out. Is that...
Yeah, trust
me. Is it like
me.
Leather or bubble gum or something? I don't know which one it is.
You know, I have a history of this sort of giving, and it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was just two of us, I never
got it right. So don't look at me. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the pier.
I want to get to that. I want to read a couple texts quickly then.
Sure.
I want to get to the piers. Sheila says, good morning, Dan and Sean. Glad to hear you on the morning show, Sean. Well, thank you, Sheila. Thankful for Zach and his service. His legacy will always continue. As a military mom, it hits deep. God bless your family. Okay, now thanks. I fly out to Montana next week, and your story's not comforting, Dan. I've had a few hiccups previous 3 summers to Montana, but I'm praying for uneventful flights this time, and have a blessed day.
You're flying from Mobile, Alabama to somewhere in Montana. There's a couple of junctures along the way.
Yeah, going to Montana, I have gone to Minneapolis to go to Montana, but I've gone to Denver before to go through.
Yeah,
let's see.
But you can't get to Denver from Mobile.
No. But it was when we had Frontier. Yeah. Oh, man, I was in love with that because we could fly direct to Denver.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was good. Hopefully that's going to be back in the future. Daniel and Foley says about Quinn. We'll just get right at it. He said, no one cares what this rhino has to say. But he said, that guy asked for the form of death. Yeah, and Daniel, you're right. Remember, he was trying to delay. He was saying, well, no, I'm going to choose which way I want to die.
Yeah.
This is the case, and Daniel's spot on. And then he came up with the, we'll do this. And they said, okay, well, we'll do this with the nitrogen hypoxia.
But then he changed his mind.
Yeah, and right. And then they've had the issues too with, there's one part of it. You can't have the screw-ups on the lethal injection. That part, you got to do better. Well, we had these where they can't get,
the vein or whatever was going on.
And so I agree with a lot of these folks on the text line. At the same time, I hold it to Department of Corrections to be able to I know there's extenuating circumstances, but we got to be, got to do it. When it's time to do it, you got to do it.
Well, it's pretty ironic that you get all the way down to the death sentence, the death penalty of somebody, the actual execution of that. And there's another area where the Alabama prisons doesn't get it right.
I thought it was a big failure and a bad look. I mean, if you're going to do this most serious thing with committing a death sentence, an execution, then you do it. You don't. Yep. Maximus says, did he torture his victims? To hell with that dude. Pete says, my goodness, we have been compassionately euthanizing dogs for years. How hard can this be? Ben and Daphne says the fix is mandating nurses to use an ultrasound to guide the IV access and placement. The typical sequence of medical medication used for lethal injection is first sedative is given, then a paralytic, followed by IV potassium that then stops the heart. It should not be hard to obtain these medications and to train clinicians obtaining IV access. I have a hard time believing they couldn't get these drugs. Seems like an excuse to me. Ben, I don't know. I just know that that was what was sold to us, that companies that had whatever part of it, and you're talking about the things you just laid out there that should be widely available, but there were companies, I think, that were providing the substances. They were getting flack, getting pressure from outside groups to not sell the... I have to go back and look.
Because it had to do with the death penalty? Because
So, you know, groups would work the same way they go after any company or whatever. Yep. They go after the company, and so they wouldn't sell it. I don't have the story in front of me. That's how I recount it. So TK, let's see. Well, sort of our Big Enos says, bring back beheading. It's quick, efficient. The only person's only aware for seconds. And the best thing, you buy the axe once. No using tax dollars for drugs, medical facilities, and things of that nature. Only mildly kidding from Big Enos. TK in Mobile says, we got plenty of scenes. Fentanyl, use it. You know, I mean, if it's killing,
causing unwanted deaths.
Yeah. Supermom says, my problem with cruel and unusual punishment is that the killer had no qualms about how they killed their victims. Were the victim's comfort level taken into consideration? Apparently, I'm heartless because it doesn't bother me. So, and yeah, four-year anniversary, fruit and flowers. So, we decide what you want, Leanna. I'm going to get one of those chopped up watermelon things at the grocery store. It's like $9 for four pieces of watermelon or something like that. I'm back to just buying it, chopping up myself.
Happy anniversary, Leanna.
Yeah, so there you go.
Everyone's thinking about you.
All right. So you mentioned, the peer thing. I just wanted to mention this story because from the day it was a State of Union address and President Biden said, man, we're going to build this pier. Remember, they're going to build this pier in Gaza. And I'm just some hayseed. What do I know? I said, I got an idea. Since we put a bunch of foreign aid money into Egypt mm-hmm. and to Israel,
mm-hmm.
and we want to give the humanitarian aid for the Palestinians.
Yeah.
So what I would say is we're going to land the damn C-130s on airfields in your countries, and then you are going to take these trunks loaded, and we're going to monitor you from above. You know, from satellite, and you're going to take it in there and get the aid to these people versus the stuff we were dropping it by parachute. Number one, it was like not anything enough close to supplies for these people.
Yep.
Number two, it was hitting people coming down, so that doesn't work. But we want to build this pier, right? We want to build... It just seems completely silly to me to go through this whole process, but they got the pier finished, right? They got the floating pier finished. And I also said, does this to you seem like a conduit to actually do put boots on the ground and start moving this Overton window that, we're not going to have boots on the ground. We're not going to have boots on the ground. And yeah, I say this the day after Memorial Day because I get called other things, isolationists maybe. I'm just very sensitive to where we put our men and women,
mm-hmm.
you know, our warriors, where yeah. we put them and for why, and what is the mission? What is the scope of the mission? Well, so this is late last week. It said four U.S. Army vessels supporting the humanitarian floating pier mission in Gaza became unmoored by rough seas. Two of the vessels are now anchored on a Gaza beach near the pier. So they washed up. They're at the beach. U.S. Central Command said that in a statement over the weekend. The other two were beached further north on the coast of Israel near Ascalon. Israeli forces are assisting recovery efforts near the pier, and no U.S. personnel will enter Gaza, according to CENTCOM. Okay. No injuries were reported. The pier remains fully functional. So a tugboat and landing craft, mechanized LCM, washed ashore in Israel. A U.S. official confirmed to NPR. LCMs transport vehicles and were notably used in World War II for amphibious landings of troops and tanks. So I just ask questions. I don't know. I don't have clearance. Why do we have if we're not going to put any boots on the ground or take
amphibious.
Why do we have amphibious there?
You wouldn't. The whole point of an amphibious craft is to get you to the beach.
Then it says, this comes just days after a U.S. service member was hospitalized for a serious injury sustained during the Gaza aid pier operation. Two of the service members had minor injuries. None of the injuries were a result of combat. The temporary pier, situated just north of Rafah, was recently erected from U.S. troops to expand the flow of food and other supplies to starving Palestinians as Israel's war against Hamas continues. It says Israel's closures and restrictions on land crossings in Gaza has limited flow of aid to the people there. Okay. it's going to be one of these things. Well, the pier's already built, Sean. It is. But I asked this question before we built the dang pier.
Well, you asked why don't it you like just day put, one.
Yeah, why don't you just say no? If you want additional aid, you know, Egypt too, if you want additional aid from the United States, we're going to fly the stuff in. We're going to put it on trucks, and we're going to bring it in there. Versus this pier to then land it that way and bring it in. Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Why this? It's, you know, the pier.
I forgot that it was in
pier pressure is what
it is. Well, I forgot it was in the, actually, it was in the State of the Union address.
Oh, yeah, you said the State of the Union address. I'm going to go back to my Twitter feed where I said, what? What are we doing?
Yeah, I forgot that that's where that announcement landed, was in that State of the Union address when he was hyped up on M&M's.
Yes, M&M's, that's right. The green ones. But the, and also as you look at what happened with, what did Netanyahu call it, the tragic mistake, you have, you know, what they said was, specialized ordnance, very targeted ordnance going into a facility where they said Hamas leadership was there in Rafah, but then started the fire that swept through the camp. Okay, if you're looking at what is next, if when Israel says mission accomplished or whatever here, what is next? How do you think you're ever going to, Hamas is going to recruit more people? If you say, well, Israel's got to do what they got to do. Okay, but let's look at it critically. The go get however many Hamas leadership people you got or didn't get in this targeted strike with this missile, right? Not sending, you know, Mossad in there or whatever. And a fire that kills 45 at least at this point. How many people is Hamas going to recruit from this? How many? When will you ever be able to now? You take it from here's Hamas, their levels, and you said, I think they said one Israeli thing came out, said a 30% reduction. In other words, dead Hamas fighters from the total. But every time something like this happens, it's going to be easy for them to recruit more people into things. So when does this ever end?
I don't know.
Do you occupy it? And what is that like for Israel? And then Israel say, well, we can't occupy it. Oh, what, do we have the UN come in there? Or oh, do we have a group of nations that would, you know, probably include us come in there? And I don't know.
You've got a larger group of nations right now that are really beginning to object to all of this.
Absolutely.
The pressure that, you know, from the beginning, everyone, well, not everyone for sure, but a lot of people were like, hey, their problem, they'll deal with it. This is the way they've always done it. It's over half a year now. A lot of lives lost, and a lot of people beginning to wonder if this needs to go on, or does it make any sense to go on? And again, you bring up if they do say, okay, we've done what we set out to do, what does that then look like in a city like Rafah,
on the Gaza Strip? The whole Gaza Strip, the place that's, you know, 5 miles wide by 25 miles long.
Right.
But we're, at the same time, millions of people there.
Yep.
And so if you continue to have these kind of situations and you don't take out... you take out Hamas fighters, and then they recruit more fighters. I'm not saying Israel doesn't need to defend itself. I think it's just worth asking critical questions of what's next there. Seems like an untenable situation.
Here's two questions that I would say need to be asked. And one, I haven't heard enough about, even from the beginning of this, Sean. How did it happen? How did that attack happen? I'm saying, look, you're Israel. You know you're an island nation for sure. If not physically, you know, you're it. You're the target. Mm-hmm. You would have to be aware of all possibilities. It would seem to me.
Yes.
That wasn't a left hook from a country far away. That was your neighbor. So you probably should have the best possible intel on, considering who they are.
And I would agree that they should. And Israel has had a track record, of course, just to play the other side. We've talked about it in this country and elsewhere. Terrorists only have to be right once.
Yeah.
Defending from them, you have to be right every time.
True.
So
good point. But it just seemed that it out of phase that Israel would have their guard down in such a way for that tragedy to unfold and stun about 99% of us. There seems to be some people out there okay with the whole thing. 850 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. Dalton's out. Sean's here. And FM Talk 106.5 with Mobile Mornings. Dan and Sean, FM Talk 106.5 at 854.
Yeah, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Been doing it 16-plus years now. Get rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And, yeah, good time if you're planning on getting it done sometime soon.
Get it done.
Well, here's the thing about this. You can do the I'll get around to it, or this is just this is the psychology of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, at least in my brain. If you go ahead and make the appointment, then you will get it done.
Yeah, that's true.
If you sit there and say, well, one day we'll get all that stuff cleaned out of the garage, or one day we'll get that storage unit emptied out that we pay on every month, or one day we're going to get, you know, the kids are now in their 30s and we still have the full Pirates playset, swing set in the backyard. You're going to get it done when you make that appointment, and you can do that pretty easily, too. In a real good old-fashioned appointment, they find a day that works for you, a time that works for you. 1-800-GOT-JUNK and the crew, train his crew, show up. You point at the stuff you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get to work, and get it done right then. I've used them personally and with this radio station, so many of y'all have. Do the same thing we've done, and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make that appointment, and, yeah, get her done.
Yeah, and look at all those reviews. People are thrilled with them, and then you think, come on. No, they are.
Good folks, and the kind of people that, you know, I've said this before, I'm funny about people in my house. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I just always, like, but those folks, I'm like, come on. Come on, y'all.
Remember Charlie Brennan, little dog?
Yes, I do.
So, we used to, I put him into a 1-800-GOT-JUNK commercial back early on, because we were walking around and we saw the most disgusting yard. And it's like, even as a dog, he was like, oh, Pop, what's going on there? I said, I do not know. Okay, on the way, the Jeff Poore Show is straight ahead, and he's got Caroline Dobson, of course. She would like to be your congresswoman, and she'll be running in the fall. And AL2, she's up at 9:35. WBNN's Dale Jackson, he and Jeff will shout at each other around 10:35 this morning for a good 20 minutes. And then Alabama GOP Chairman John Wall generally joins Jeff every week, and he will again today beginning at 11:35.
All right, some of the text from the text line here. Joel in Somerdale says, the only thing that peer, what is the symbol for, was trying to help the terrorist over there. It's a corrupt government, but that pier there, put that pier there to get ammunition to Hamas. That's the bottom line. Let's see. Oh, of course, Somerdale Tony said, I noticed Sean didn't mention my text where he said Leanna will probably say a raise would be a great anniversary gift. So I did tell it, Somerdale Tony. Ed said, Sean, the pier cost $320 million, a waste of money. King of all unnamed texters says the pier is a total Bidenism. No, the total Bidenism, King, would be, I remember when I built a pier. I built a floating pier myself. I was there at the D-Day landing, which is 80 years coming up.
Right off Atlantic City, entertainment district.
Yeah, I built the floating pier, and I did it all myself. I was a Teamster then, and I, you know, whatever. But yeah, the pier, it's, I just, once again, don't understand why we don't use the fact that we use this foreign aid to have influence over other countries. And if we want to bring supplies into the Palestinian people, humanitarian supplies, didn't we just say, hey, y'all, we're going to fly the C-130s in here. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring the ships in here, and we're going to airlift it off into these air bases. And then we're going to put them on trucks, and y'all are going to take them in there. We're going to watch you from eye in the sky, the big eye, and make sure you do it. And there you go.
I don't know how the pier was.
Pier.
Yeah, I don't know how that was
deemed. Who the contractor is on that? Do you think that's KBR? Who was the contractor? I gotta see.
Boy,
that.
You got mm-hmm. your hands around something right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, Tony from Somerdale, careful being involved in salary recommendations and internal affairs here at FM Talk 106.5. I mean, Sean runs the ship, and that's clear to all of us. Please, if you would, when you meddle like that, you're only creating more tension here around the office.
Oh, we have a meeting coming up in just 5 minutes.
We do.
You don't need to be in the back conference room. It's going to be trouble.
Well, that meeting was not scheduled 10 minutes ago, but thanks to Somerdale Tony, we'll all join hands.
Mm-hmm.
Say the Pledge of Allegiance and let
Sean rip.
See what you've done. Yeah. Jeff Poore on the way next. Sean back with us tomorrow. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
No problem.
It's 8:58 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.